This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Faye Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. You know, the weather's up and down. I mean, I don't know if it's ever really going to be spring. I'm a little bit worried.
Well, you know, that's the thing. It's like, I guess we get to enjoy all of the seasons all at once for a little while because it's about to get hot. It gets hot for what? I always say it gets like 1,000 degrees for like 10 and a half months. And then it'll kind of get a little bit of all seasons. And then it goes right back to hot.
Right back to hot. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
You know, this week it was in the 70s. Then it dropped to 45, 46, 43. I'm going, and then the wind has been bad. We've had a lot of wind.
It seems so weird. It's just like, it seems like when it gets really warm, it gets really warm. And then when it gets really cold, it gets really cold. It seems like the extremes are a little bit more extreme than they used to be.
I think so. This year especially. I mean, you know, we're going along, spring is here, and we think it is, and then all of a sudden it just drops. I mean, you know.
The calendar says it is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going, oh, my gosh, where's my coat?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an amazing deal.
It kind of makes you wonder, you know, hopefully we won't have like a freezing cold, you know, snowy Easter service coming up, April 4th.
You know, that has happened years ago. I remember when, you know, it did snow on Easter.
Yeah.
And it's always cold on Easter.
Yes.
You know, I don't remember it ever being warm on Easter. Seems like it's always a little chilly.
Yeah. It kind of seems like it used to be warm, and then I guess the trend has changed a little bit. And what is it, April 4th? So that's 2.5, 2, 3 weeks? Okay, I don't have my calendar. But it's not that far away.
It's not that far away. And you know what I always thought was so funny? Everybody's got on their Easter dress with a coat over it.
I know.
I mean, all the little girls got these beautiful little Easter dresses and their little bonnet on, and then, you know, they've got to wear a coat.
It's such a shame.
It is. And but in spite of that, everybody gets out and hunts Easter eggs.
That's true. I used to hunt Easter eggs in my leisure suit.
There you go.
You think I'm kidding?
Oh, probably not with you. You're probably true.
Yeah, when I was 4, I had a leisure suit.
Well, I remember all the different little suits little boys had.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then they did the turtleneck. Remember when that became popular?
Oh, that was huge.
The men were wearing them. The little boys wore them with their suits. They had all those pretty little turtlenecks they wore, I swear.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we've been through everything. Do you remember, speaking of Rush Limbaugh, do you remember when Rush had the shirts and the ties to match?
Yes.
Remember that?
Yeah.
That was another thing that happened. I mean, fashion has had lots of turnaround.
Well, you know, you wonder sometimes because you'll watch like an old movie or a movie like about in older times. Like you see something, you know, historical. You'll see something, you know, like Revolutionary War or even Civil War period. And you wonder, how did the suits and the dresses go from that to what they are now? It's difficult to connect them, and it's difficult to figure out where did that line hit where people, you know, men stopped wearing tights and we turned into like the suits that we have now. Where was that line? How did that transformation happen? It's weird.
It's the designers, you know. You have designers, the older designers designed one way. Then as they came up, they wanted to make a statement, so they changed everything again.
Yeah, apparently so.
And now there's probably not near as many suits. I bet we could do a study on it. as there used to be. People don't wear them as much,
yeah,
unless you're in the city. Hmm. You know, but if you're out in the country or a small town, you know, you wear them on Sunday, but you don't wear them a lot of the other time.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they're selling more leisure clothes than they used to be formal clothes.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think it seems like people who are not in the city, that quote fashion hasn't really changed a whole lot. I think it's pretty much original to what it's always been for years and years. At least that's what I remember.
The Levi's will never leave us.
Never.
We will always have Levi's. I mean,
thank goodness.
Yeah, I mean, we could not do without those. It doesn't matter, you know, where you are in the world, they make Levi's.
Yeah.
And that we will always have our Levi's and our boots, hopefully, and things like that.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, because I just don't think you know, like in Texas, Oklahoma, places like that, you couldn't do without them.
Mm-mm. No.
So I think it's different in different parts of the country.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Yeah. And people should I know a lot of people said that they go there ahead of time, and it's really worth it. I think the feedback you get anyway is that people, when they go to the website, they kind of have a little bit more information about, you know, various investments, things that people have made. They get to read up a little bit about other people's experience, and I think there's really a ton of information there. I mean, you've got
a gentleman called this week, and he is a friend of one of our clients. And he said he'd been thinking about it for a long time, and he decided to call. And I said, look, go to the website. So while we were talking, he went to the website.
Really?
And I directed him to that left side where you can go and see what people have made and get all that information.
And it's important.
Yeah, and it's right there on the left side. And the other thing that people don't realize, if you miss a show and want to go back and listen to some of the shows, you can go on our website and go back and listen to previous shows.
Yeah, and that also is important. It is. And there's a lot of people that actually do that. They'll be like out of town on vacation and go back and listen to the old archive shows, even current archive shows.
And I have one person that keeps up with all of them. And if we miss getting them on, he calls me and tells me, y'all are not up to date. You don't have all the shows on there.
Somebody's going to be in trouble.
That's right. So he keeps up with that, let me tell you. Then I have a professor from the college that's retired. He travels all over the United States, and he goes back and listens to these if he misses any. But he does it on his computer when he's, you know, traveling the world, so to speak. So a lot of people listen in different forms.
And, you know, the wonderful thing about the website is not only do you have all these facts and figures and testimonials and things like that, but people are doing more research than they've ever done before when they're, you know, getting into something new, whether it's, you know, buying a product. You know, people will read, like, the reviews. Like, you go to Amazon and people will read those things. You go to, you know, anything else. People are doing much more research on their own than they ever used to do before. And getting that kind of data ahead of time, I think, is really, really important, especially right now. And I'm glad that you've got all that up there.
Well, I am too. And then the other thing is word of mouth. We have so many people that know someone that's an investor, and they tell them how much they've made over the years, how well they've done. So then they come on over, and we have that all the time. People say, you know, I want to come on over.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people get the idea of maybe changing their mindset on investing in general because of other people that they know, people, you know, maybe they work with, friends, family, who have been involved in life settlements. And they get to that point where it's just like, you know, they keep talking about all this money that they're making, and it something, I guess, just clicks at some point.
I think it does.
Yeah. And then they call you.
I think after 2 or 3 years, sometimes it takes them a year, 2 years, and they listen to our shows, and they know they want to do it. They just haven't broke loose. And then, like all the ones that have been coming lately, you know, they say, you know, I've been intending to do this for a year or 2 years. Today's the day. I'm coming over today to open an account. And it's easy to open an account. I don't know if we talk about that very much, but it is. You come over We get all your information. If it's a 401, we show you how to switch the 401 to us. If it's an IRA, we just do a rollover. There's no taxes. That's the question a lot of people ask. Is this going to cost me any taxes? No. If you've got a 401 or an IRA, it's a rollover. It's the same as it was. It's not going to change. It just now becomes yours solely. But if it's a 401k, it was an employer IRA, and then it becomes your IRA. So that's the big difference there.
71.5, is that when it is that people have to pay taxes?
And they've changed it a little bit now. It's going to be a little longer out. But I always just say stick with 70.5, and then you always know, you know, that you're going to have to start paying taxes.
Mm. 70.5, not 71, sorry.
Yeah, 70.5. But they have changed it. They've made it. They've upped it, I think, to 71. But I stick with the other, where you always know that you've got to have cash starting then.
You know, and when it comes to financial planning, it's things like that that a lot of people don't know. I know this past year, you know, since we're in the middle of tax season now, I've talked to a couple of people and they've said that, you know, some of the tax laws have changed as far as like donations go. I know a lot of people make, contributions to kind of counter against tax for tax write-off purposes and things like that, and they try to count them. And I know that, and I'm not a tax person, so I may not be saying this right, but something about, you know, donations have changed a little bit, and there's a threshold, I think it's like 24 grand or something like that, that you have to at least meet before you can count it or something like that. So I'm sure, you know, these are the kinds of things that people need to know and they count on you for. And I guess we think about it a lot during tax season. It's just like, you know, geez, you know, I've invested. I want to invest. I'm going to invest. I've been investing for a long time. Wherever people are in that spectrum, there's still things that change. And you're up to date on all these things, like making sure we roll over, like making sure that we're not paying undue taxes when we don't have to.
Okay, this has nothing to do with that. But do you remember which president? It just came to me. Do you remember which president took all the underwear that he gave to Goodwill off?
What? No, I don't know. No, Eisenhower.
It was Bill Clinton. He took all his underwear off. What? And oh my gosh, it made headlines. Because you're talking about deductions. He just deducted all this underwear that he gave to Goodwill. I've never heard of anybody even giving underwear to Goodwill.
Are you serious? I don't remember that at all.
It happened. It made headlines, I'm telling you.
Wow, that is so random.
I know. I mean, I just thought of you talking about your deduction. I don't think you can get by with that ever again. I don't think anybody else could get by with that.
Okay, because I was just writing down, like giving away underwear, and I was going to scratch this off my list now. Never mind.
I believe I'd scratch that off the list immediately. Don't think you can get by with it. And the one thing that gets people in trouble in the past, it's probably going to change this year, was if you did a home office. Boy, that's the first thing that IRS picks up on. All these people trying to use a home office, and used to that got them audited every time.
Really?
Of course, now everybody is working from home for real. Back then, it wasn't for real. People were just putting that down. And the IRS always caught it, and they were audited over it. But now that everybody is working at home, there'll probably be a lot of people that will use the home office.
And it's like legit, too.
Yeah, it is legit now, and it wasn't back then.
Wow. I didn't even think about that. You know, it's like, yeah, people all, and I know it's, what is it, like a percentage of the square footage or something like
that's
that?
That's right, percentage of the square footage in the house.
And so now that people are actually doing it, I would imagine probably things have changed. You know, and that's a kind of a good question. Overall speaking, and I don't know how much, you know, of an actual tax person you are, but how is the whole landscape this year going to change? Because 2020 was so different. There were so many weird things, so many losses that were unexpected, so many changes, you know, things like people working from home, stuff like that. Is there any, do they expect anything weird to happen or just like the same old, same old?
I think everybody's taxes will be completely different. All the businesses, a lot of them lost a lot of money. A lot of them had to close their businesses. And then there was, you know, they had more discounts perhaps than they would have it at any other time. And I don't think that'll get them audited because it's such a weird year. You know, I mean, everybody's going to have the same things on their taxes, you know, different, the losses,
yeah.
Having been shut down, employee losses, paying employees when they weren't there. I mean, there'll be all kinds of new things, I believe, on taxes.
Mileage claims, that might be something that changes as well, because, you know, people who used to travel a lot for business probably didn't do a lot of business traveling last year.
That's right. They did it all on the phone. And so that'll be something they won't be taking off this year.
Wow.
And then there was they probably had health insurance for, you know, all these people. They were taking all that off. And if they laid off a lot of people, they won't have that deduction.
Yeah. Jeez.
So the deductions may be completely different this year for a lot of companies than it was in the past. And then if everybody, if you're drawing unemployment, you know, there'll be a lot of, there's going to just be so many things people will have to consider.
Yeah, it almost seems like everybody, because, you know, you mentioned throwing up red flags and audits and stuff like that. It seems like normal things from filing, you know, right now, like for 2020, it seems like a lot of things that normally happened organically last year might be things that would have normally thrown up red flags. But since it was so strange, not only from employers' standpoints, but employees' standpoints and business owners as well, it seems like there's not really any kind of a standard thing anymore to throw up red flags, because it's all so weird.
Yeah, I think there'll be so many things that will be legitimate that might have been questionable years ago. They will not be questionable now. They're for real.
Yeah, that's
so
a good
they're
going to
have a lot of different deductions this year. I think there's going to be things we never heard of that they will be deducting.
Yeah. Ooh, I didn't think of that. So what about people who do have businesses? Because I know you've got a lot of investors who own their own business. Is there?
Yes, we do.
Is there some kind of a different way that they should be doing? Well, what's your feedback? What are you hearing from people as they start to file business taxes and stuff?
Well, they ask me questions about different things. And another thing, if they're paying any premiums, those are deductible. Did you know that?
Really?
Yeah, premiums are deductible, and I have people that don't know that and have not been taking the premium off, so that's a loss that you didn't even get, because you did not know that if you have to pay premiums on a policy, it is deductible.
I did not know that.
Yeah, because it is an investment.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, I guess I never even thought to ask all these years.
Yeah, so you can take that off every year. If you have one that goes over 12 months, and you had to pay premium that year, yes, you can take that off.
Wow. Interesting.
Yes.
All right.
So there's a lot of things people, you know, don't even know they can take off.
Hmm. I didn't have a clue. I don't know why that never came. It just never occurred to me to even consider it or even ask. I didn't even know it was a thing.
Of course, if they have a nanny, you know, everybody should know you always take off that. Because more people probably had a nanny this year than ever before, because a lot of their kids couldn't even go to school in other states. So I'm sure they had to have a nanny while they went to work.
That's
or
true.
Else they had to stay home, and their income dropped by half.
That's true.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So it was one way or the other. You either stayed home if you were a two-parent family. One of you had to stay home with the children, or you had to hire someone where you could go to work. And it depends what income level you're at.
Really?
You know, whether you could afford to do that or not.
You know, and I guess another thing, I have heard a couple of people, I didn't think of it, it wasn't a tax conversation, but now that you kind of bring that up, I wonder, you know, a lot of people that did have to, you know, work from home, and, you know, the company sent some equipment or whatever they needed, computer or whatever they needed, and they set up a little home office for them to work at home. If the kids were at home, they needed probably somebody to watch them. They couldn't kind of go back and forth between the two. Some did, obviously, but there's others that had to have dedicated time, and somebody else had to watch the kids, so they may still had to have brought in a nanny.
That's right. So a lot of people had to have extra help because of that. And so you know they're going to take that off. And the different parts of the job, if they had to buy equipment, like you said, for their home office, you know, that's going to be deductible. And there's just probably a lot of things, you know, that they have not ever deducted before that they'll be deducting. Your cartridges, your ink cartridges, a lot of people don't think about that. If you're doing a lot of business and you're buying ink cartridges all the time, they're very expensive. Like if you've got a Hewlett-Packard, those cartridges, if you get all the colors, everything's over $400.
Yeah. Wow.
So people are having to replace those all year. So there's a lot of things they may not even think about, you know, that you can take off, much less the lunches that you used to do that are not they won't let you take hardly anything for those anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
But
wow.
Nobody was going to lunch now anyway.
Exactly. So that's kind of out of the picture for this year.
Yeah, I would say that's out. But a lot of other things are going to be coming in that you didn't use before. So hopefully everybody will have a lot of deductions. I think they will.
Yeah. Wow. It seems like a totally different year, like a filing season. Now, I wonder how, when it's all said and done, how things are going to kind of shake out.
I don't know what the income will be this year. It'll be interesting to see after everybody's filed their taxes, you know, what people really made for the year. The government will come out and give us some kind of figures.
Yeah. And then I know there's other things that are not necessarily directly related, but they're indirectly related, like, any stimulus checks that people may have gotten last year, any kind of unemployment benefits that they may have gotten last year, any kind of, you know, different assistance programs for a lot of people, because really for a while it was just a matter of, you know, hey, let's just do everything we can to stay afloat. It was really survivalist mode for not only employers but employees as well. So it affected people because of the same thing on both sides, but it affected them differently.
That's right. And if you had llamas, you can deduct all that feed bill and all those sharing bills and all this other for your llamas.
So the lesson of this story is, if you don't have llamas, you need to get some.
That's right, because there's a lot of deductions for llamas. Oh, my gosh. And, of course, if people have all these high-powered horses and cattle, you know, there's a lot of deductions on a ranch. We could talk all day about the... If they have a ranch, all the deductions. There's so many deductions.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Farms and ranches have lots and lots of deductions.
Yeah. So what are you getting from people right now? As people come in, is there any kind of thing that people should be doing right now? Has anything changed? Or is it really just a matter of, hey, whatever you've been doing in the past, we like. When other things happen, it's just business as usual for life settlements, investing, things like that.
Well, more people are investing in life settlements than ever before. Everywhere I go, you know, people are talking about life settlements, about buying policies, about getting into it, and asking how many can I buy. And then a guy asked me this week again, well, what is the minimum? I said, 100,000. I said, you know, we can't do somebody that's 30 or 40,000, because they're going to need that money the next month, and so we can't be involved in that. So that's how we years ago started doing 100,000. It works, and our people come in with maybe 100, 300, 400. You know, or I've got some that have come with 1 million lately. So there's all different amounts and different reasons why people put a different amount in. And then I always talk about the fact you've got to be diversified. The only way this works is if you've got several policies. You can't come in with one policy and think you're going to get rich. That ain't going to happen.
Mm-mm. Do you find that people are coming over right now? Because I know you've had a lot of new investors come over. Do you find that
we
people
do have a lot of new ones?
Are they reacting to anything right now, or is it just like maybe coincidence?
The world, they are reacting to the world. I'll be. That's what a lot of people are saying, you know. And then I've had people that come and said, I want half of it in life policies, and then I want half of it in annuities. And we've done that. The ones that want just a steady income have done annuities. And the ones that, you know, want to make more and do it a little differently, they've done life settlements.
Do you have a preference or a recommendation between the two, or is it just, you know, whichever anybody needs?
Well, it depends. If you're growing money right now, you need to grow it pretty fast. you're going to do life settlements. If we've already got you fixed on life settlements and you're ready to just have a steady income, you're going to say, well, I need some annuities. And then you want to be sure it's an annuity company that's A-rated and above. You don't want to do a B-rated company. We try to stay away from those. So when we do an annuity, our companies are 110 years old. Mm-hmm. I thought they were 100. I checked them the other day. They're 110 years old.
Really?
Yeah. They're really, really old.
So they're over a century.
Yeah, they're over a century. So these are the kind of companies I want to put people's money with. They pay their claims promptly. That's really important. If you die, you know, you can get a check within 3 weeks. We did have someone pass away recently, and I sent the claim papers in. They've already got their money.
Really?
Yeah, it was quick.
Wow.
And so that's the kind of companies I want. I don't want the ones that are going to hem and haw and say, well, we don't have all the paperwork. You didn't send it in right.
Ugh, geez.
And I like the ones that respond very quickly and say, okay, here's what all we need. Just send it and we'll do it. And they do.
You know,
and then they can have lifetime income, and that's really good.
You kind of touched on something that's got me thinking. Sometimes we talk about people who want to do life settlements, and so they're not necessarily quite to the point where they're fully accredited. So to build it up, you know, they may start with annuities, build things up a little bit, and then get accredited and then move over to life settlements. We never talk about doing it backwards. And I don't know why it's never crossed my mind, but you kind of open up a new way of thinking here. Is it a good idea, or do you have many people who are in life settlements and then say, hey, I want to kind of diversify and add a couple of annuities on top of it? Is that a thing?
Yes, I have that happen quite a bit now. When they get older, they start to wanting an annuity for the income. The other, you know, they get their interest, and they're letting the interest kind of pile up, as I say, accumulate. And over here, they're going to take money out every year as income. So it's going to give them a lifetime income over here with the annuities. So a lot of people are doing it. Annuities have changed in the last year. They've added things to annuities that are really, really great. They put some investments inside the annuities that will make more money, that's going to be better. I know when they sent them to us, I said, that's what we want the people in their annuities. So, you know, we've put these new things in there. Remember, an annuity invests side by side like it's market, but you're never in the market direct. That's why it's safe. And when you make interest in an annuity, it locks in right then. It can never go down. Annuities aren't like the stock market. They don't go down. Once it makes money, it locks it in forever. It's yours. So that's why people buy annuities.
How is an annuity affected by outside factors?
Well, really, it's not, because if the market goes down, your annuity just sits there. It might not make money that year, but you will never lose it because your principal's always right there. It's not like when you're in the market, it could go down tomorrow and you could lose a lot of money. An annuity, if it doesn't make money, it just sits there. But then if it makes money, it locks it in. And if it doesn't matter, if the market goes back down, your money's safe. You've already made your profit. So it just sits right there. It grows.
So
that's what makes it so good.
There's an additional safety net. I guess if we were going to put these different investments on a tier, it would probably be the most riskiest would be like stock markets. Probably the best case scenario, the safest, most conservative would be life settlements, and somewhere in the middle would be an annuity. Is that about, am I characterizing that right? Or am
an
I looking
annuity
at it wrong?
Is safer than anything.
Really?
Okay. It is the safest of everything. Annuities have been around, as I said, the company that we use, 110 years. They've always paid off. They've always paid a good interest. I've never had anybody that was with this company that said, just cash me out. I've never had anybody cash out of that company. That tells me they've done a good job. They've paid them good. The interest was good. And they take 10% out of it every year. And as I said, I've got some that have done this, and they're still with us. They haven't run out of money yet.
Wow.
So that's what I love about annuities. It's just going to pay and pay over the years, and it will give you that continued income forever. That's what's so good about annuity. And as long as you get a really good company that doesn't have a lot of restrictions, you're in great shape.
Would the regular, I guess, quote, income, would that be like the greatest asset of an annuity?
Yes, is your income, because every year you can take 10% out forever. And it's building interest all that time, even though you're taking money out. And you can do it a 7-year, you can do a 10-year. And you can walk away from an annuity if you get the right company. Some companies you can't walk away. I mean, you've got to take a payout at the end. The annuities we do, they're walkaways. At the end of that term, if you say, I want all my money, I'm not going to take a payout, you can do it. If you have an emergency in 3 years, you can take all your money out if you had an emergency. Not very many companies have that in there, but they do have that, where if you had an emergency, you could take it all out in 3 years.
So it's a little less restrictive. There's a little more flexibility involved.
It's a lot more flexible than other companies, and that's what I like about it, because I know which companies aren't. We've already been there and done that, and they would make you take a payout no matter what happened.
Really?
Yeah, you couldn't just say, I've been with you 10 years, I'll just walk away. They said, oh, no, you have to take a payout now. Now you've been here 10, now you got to take a payout. You know?
As you compare and contrast, because we don't talk about annuities very often. Usually we focus a lot on life settlements. But as you compare and contrast the two investments, what would be the biggest advantage or disadvantage of one versus another? I know that's kind of a loaded question.
Well, the life settlement pays more, okay?
All right.
It does pay a lot more because you're going to make, 15, 18, up to 30%. An annuity isn't going to pay that much, but it's steady.
Okay.
It is steady income every year.
All right.
An annuity is a growth plus income.
Growth.
It's growth and income.
Plus
the
income.
Other is income. And sometimes you have to wait 2 years, 18 months, 30 months to get paid. And you're accumulating all that time, but it's not giving you regular income because it's just interest. So you're going to accumulate your interest over here on the life settlements, and then you can start taking money out of that. Or you can go over here and do an annuity and start taking money out at the end of 12 months.
Okay. All right. So annuities are more like smaller increments of accessible cash regularly,
yes,
as opposed to a life settlement, which be larger returns of cash with a little bit longer.
Yeah, it's a lot
between.
Larger when you get it because you're investing each time $50,000 to $100,000.
I see. All right.
So, you're going to make a lot more interest, but a lot of people want that steady income. If they want just steady income, they're going to do an annuity.
And people
and just
still,
lay back and forget about it.
Does it still make sense? Because we've said in the past, does it still make sense to start out if you're not accredited to doing a life settlement? Does it still make sense to start with annuities, grow that up, and then become accredited and switch over
sure,
to life settlements?
And then become accredited, yes. Because if you're not accredited, if you don't have $100,000, if you don't make $200,000 a year, you can start out with an annuity. Do an annuity for 7 years, and then if you're accredited then you can switch over. Or you may want to do both at the end of 7 years. You may have enough money. You can keep your annuity, grow it over the next 20 years, and then have life settlements also.
I imagine this has probably just opened the door to a whole lot of people who had never really thought about being able to invest because they didn't know that this was really an option. I'm just guessing, but it seems like it's opened up a whole new door to people.
That's right. You can do both. You can say, okay, for growth, I'm going to do life settlements. For income, just plain old income, year after year, I'll do annuities.
Wow. And there are people
so
that actually,
both.
They start in, or that maybe they, I don't know if they started, that might not be the right thing, but they're more heavily invested in life settlements that are now adding annuities so that they've got the long-term growth with the settlement, and then they've got short-term growth as well on a steady trajectory with the annuity to go along with it and kind of diversify that way.
That's right.
Neat.
Because they're completely diversified. I mean, you couldn't get any more diversified if you had both of these.
And
if you had an annuity over here, just for that income every year, and then you had your life settlements over here.
Interesting. Both approaches are about as conservative as you can be, right? Risks are fairly
low. Absolutely. Because both of them, we're using A-rated companies and above. The life settlements is short-term. We're doing 24 months, 30 months. We're doing 12 months. So this is all pretty short-term. An annuity is a long-term. You know, it's 7 years, 10 years, you know, whatever. Because you're going to need income over here on this other side the rest of your life. And some people want to do it that way. And some want to be so diversified that they've got both.
So one is not necessarily better than the other. It just really kind of depends on where people want to be.
It's completely different, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Your annuities are going to give you the income over 10, 20 years.
Mm.
Okay? The other is your best investment portfolio because it's going to grow. It's going to grow faster and it'll grow bigger.
Mm.
So you can have both. You can do both. And it's both is very conservative. These companies are worth, you know, like $55 billion and above.
Jeez, man.
Yeah.
Big numbers.
We're not doing business with any little companies.
No. Wow. Okay. Well, this is you know, like I say, this has opened up a whole new door. And I don't know why we haven't really talked about annuities very much. We focus mostly on life settlements, but man, this sounds like an amazing opportunity. So if people are thinking about, you know, hey, I really want to do something, this might be a good alternative that we probably have under focused on.
That's right, because you can do both. You can do one or you can do the other one.
Yeah.
And it depends how you feel about how you want your money coming back to you. That's the whole thing.
Okay. And I know, you know, we talk about the life settlements and how they're important because of, you know, like you were talking about, you know, they're short term. You're not looking at your 20 and 30 years because that all comes down to the types of policies that you're bidding on and buying and getting into. We'll talk about the base of the life settlement program and why that's such a great opportunity as well in just a few minutes. But for right now, this is Your Money with Faye Bagby, and your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
We're going to talk about a man that really made a name for himself in Texas. He started out in Fort Worth. His name is Paul Andrews.
Oh.
He's a philanthropist. He's an all-around international guy. What he did, a lot of people just would sit back and wish they could, let me tell you. He just died this week.
Oh.
He lost his job years ago at General Dynamics. And he said, well, what am I going to do? You know, I've got to feed my family. So he started a little company called Textronics. And he just started it and started selling parts out of his Fort Worth garage. And he said, I just need a little income while I look for a job.
Hmm.
Well, 50 years later, Textron is an international company, 7,000 employees,
wow,
130 locations in North America, Europe, and Asia.
Huh. Not bad for just a little side income.
A little side income. He built an international superpower.
Wow.
Everybody knows him, talks about the family and what all they have done. The philanthropy that him and his wife have done. Now, he went to Arlington High School. He attended the University of Texas and TCU.
Wow.
But he didn't start out rich, I can tell you. When he started out as a roughneck. He sold Bibles. I mean, he did everything that you could do, you know, hard work.
He hustled.
He was roughnecking off of Louisiana. And you know how hard it is down there.
Oh, yeah.
Off the coast. Then he sold Bibles. And then he worked as a surveyor's assistant that built the downtown Fort Worth Federal Building. He just did everything to make a living. But he was a very humble man. Him and his wife, nobody, they didn't tell everybody about all the philanthropy, all the things that they did. There's just no telling. He contributed to TCU, to Texas Wesleyan. They gave him honorary doctorates there because he did so much to them. He gave a lot to A&M. He established the Industrial Distribution Conference Center at A&M. He established the Fund for Global Research at Texas A&M. And then he established the Dr. Bob Woods Chair in Automotive Engineering at UT.
Jeez.
Yeah. And then they contributed to the Paul and Judy Andrews Women's Hospital at Baylor. And he created a foundation and gave all this money away. He did more for Texas than most people even think about.
Wow.
And they say, it was his pioneering spirit that did all this, you know. How many people would go out in the garage and say, I know they need these kind of parts, and I'll make a few and sell them, and then I'll get a good job.
You know, that's fascinating, just the way he started. But then the fact that they were, giving all these donations and doing all these charity things under the radar. They didn't do it just for like a Facebook photo op or something like that. It was just they were doing it just to do it.
Yeah,
nice.
And they contributed to a women's hospital at Baylor Scott and White. And they said he's going to leave a lasting impression on the lives of thousands and thousands of people by the gifts that him and his wife have given. And as I said, he remained quiet. He didn't want anyone to know, that he was doing all this. And,
wow.
Of course, anybody that can start out as a roughneck and selling Bibles and doing all this other and has 7,000 employees.
Jeez.
I mean, how many people could do that?
What'd you say, 130 then, locations?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
And then the guy, John Roach, who was chairman of Sandy Corporation, introduced him to Warren Buffett.
Ooh.
And he told Warren Buffett, he said, I'm kind of interested in selling my company. This was in 2007. And they had a lot of subsidiaries. He was so big. And Warren Buffett said, yeah, I'd like to buy your company. So he bought his company. He stayed as president. And they said, he was just a wonderful man. He's a wonderful manager. And just did all this for people all over Texas. I mean, things he did for Texas are just phenomenal. And can you imagine, he sold it to Warren Buffett, got all that cash, and then just, he'd already been giving it away all that time, and they just continued to.
Wow. That's amazing. Sometimes when people sell a company, a lot of people worry that, everything's going to change. I mean, look what happened when, I think it was, I forget, one of the restaurant, the fast food things, one of them sold or somebody
Wendy's,
passed away.
Probably Wendy's when he died. You remember when he had it and then his daughter took over, but they sold it and it was never the same.
Yeah, a lot of people said it. It was completely changed and quality went down and different things were happening, and then, I think they realized that and, worked on things and brought it back up. But, it's just like people worry about those things. Whenever a company sells, you worry about the integrity and the quality because the new company doesn't have the same vested interest as the original founder does. They never do. And so it's a reasonable concern. But the fact that he stayed on and he was, they were still helping people and doing a lot of philanthropy on top of it, that's really fantastic. And to grow it from just a little part-time thing in his garage. Wow.
Just selling parts. Just selling these parts out of the garage, folks.
Wow.
It tells you you can get laid off somewhere. And if you've got any business sense, like this guy did, I mean, you can still make a success of yourself. I know it's hard right now because a lot of people have been laid off here in Texas. But if they've got any ideas at all, you know, bring that idea to the forefront and see if you can make a go of it.
Yeah.
You know, try something different.
You know, they say that the best, and I don't know how they actually phrase it. I'm sure there's a saying, but they say that the best inventions are the ones that solve problems. And a lot of times we go through life and it's just like, man, I wish this did this, or I wish we could, you know, that, or whatever it is. And that's usually where it stops. It takes a special person to say, hey, what if we did do this, or if that would do that? And then they start working on something, and before you know it, all of a sudden this product comes on the market, and it's like, hey, why didn't I think of that sooner?
Every time I watch television and I find these little gadgets, I just laugh.
Yeah.
I go, my gosh, they're thinking them up a mile a minute. They put them out there, they make, you know, 4, 5, 10 million real quick.
Yeah.
And that's it. And yeah. I'm always shocked at the things I see. But there's so many things yet to be developed. We're not through. There's so many more things we can invent and that we can make and sell it to the public.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of things we could do.
Even just, you know, fun things like, you know those Bubba teeth that you get at the store? that guy had to make a fortune, you know, selling those things.
Well, I find out another thing that people will pay a fortune for. Is something for their children. You know, and Dallas-Fort Worth, we have all these places you can go. We have trampoline parks. We have go-kart deals. We have everything that you could even think about. They have a little Peppa Pig place you can go to.
Wow.
And have tea at Peppa Pig's.
Really?
I mean, people will pay a fortune, and the reservations are all the way out to next year.
Jeez.
For kids' stuff.
You're kidding me.
So if people would invent something that children can do, just like the zip lines. Look how much money's been made on that dadgum zip line.
Yes. Man,
I mean,
who would have ever
everywhere.
Thought? And, you know, and you kind of get into something, because now you're kind of touching on going from products into experiences, which is a whole nother great opportunity. Man.
There's so many opportunities. We have just bought the zip line and we're installing it.
What, at the house?
See, I'm guilty as everybody else. It's new on the market. I have to have it for the children.
So wait.
Because, you know, I've talked about that zip line a lot in the last year because I think it's exciting.
It is.
And I love to see people, you know, up there in the air going across the gorges and things, you know.
Yeah.
Ours is just going to be in the backyard, by the way.
I can't believe you actually went out and bought a zip line for the house.
Of course I did. I mean,
are they taking it from like the roof of the house all the way to like a stake somewhere out in the yard?
Oh, no. We're going to have two different ends out there. You can just fly through the air, you know, however. I think it's 90 foot.
Oh, bye. So you're serious. You're going
I'm
all the way.
I'm serious about this. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
this is a different time and place. Little children don't do like what you think they do anymore.
No.
The kids are a lot more sophisticated now.
Yeah.
And, you know, they don't just sit down and play with colors and their cars anymore.
Yeah.
They're very active in all these things. I'm just saying, there's so many things. If we could just invent some of this, you know, I'm telling you, I think the market is still wide open. I don't think we are through inventing things. I think there's still a lot of things we could do, for people to do.
Yeah,
people like to stay busy. They want exciting things.
Yeah, and I tell you, after being, you know, over the situation we've had over the last, you know, 12 months or so, people are itching to get out and do stuff and get active and get busy again. So this would be a great time to come up with stuff like that.
I think it's a great time. And a lot of these things are not expensive.
Mm.
You know, a lot of things, you put a little group together and you could do it, you know?
Yeah. Interesting.
I think there's a lot of things that we could do.
So we're going to have to invent something now. You realize that, right?
I know. I'm thinking all the time about a lot of things that we could do, you know?
Wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. 3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Let's get into the types of policies, because we were talking about, you know, all these different areas of opportunity, like annuities and things like that. And then you touched on the fact that the policies that you buy for the life settlements, they're fast return, they're short term, they're higher returns on investment. And so what types of policies are you buying, and why does that make it such a unique niche and so profitable?
Well, because we only do the cancer policies. They're harder to get. They're more valuable than the other types of policies. A lot of these companies, providers, will go out and buy policies from people and give them 10 or 20 cents on the dollar just because they need some cash. So they don't get very much out of theirs. We pay more, I think, more than anybody in the market for the cancer policies. They're hard to get. Sometimes we have to wait a month to get them. Right now, we're bidding a lot of them, but not near as many as we need. We're bidding like $2 to $3 million ones right now with different kinds of cancer. As you know, pancreatic cancer is the best of anything. We've done a lot of pancreatic cancers. We're bidding on one now. We don't know if we'll even get it. It has a higher premium, but I don't think there's much danger of it, because the ones we've done have always been 9 months to 2 years.
Mm.
So, you know, we're studying them right now. We study the different kinds of cancer, making sure they're really sick. We passed up on about three that were not that sick. You have to be right in the middle of treatment. If you're not in chemo, if you're not in radiation or immunology therapy, you know, your cancer is not bad. So that's what we go for. We're going for the ones that are in treatment. We don't want someone, I hate to say this, that's in remission. Because if you're in remission, we don't know if it'll come back next year or 3 years from now.
Yeah, it could be a while.
It could. And so we don't want to take that risk with their money. And remember, this is their money, not mine. So that's why we're so careful and why we really study these policies to get the best ones. So right now we've got one that we're closing for $1 million, and we've got several others that we're bidding that we don't know if we'll get. But right now, a lot of people are not going back to the doctor that have cancer because of the pandemic. They've put it off, and the doctors have put them off. So a lot of these people we don't even know yet. So we don't know how it's going to work out.
Wow. So it sounds like really you have found, and you know, there's other people that are going to buy all these other types of policies. There's tons of other companies out there, and that's fine. You know, but just because you pass on one doesn't mean anything, you know, that bad for the policy seller. You know, we see all the time the commercials on TV where the elderly people want to sell their policy, and they're going to travel in the RV, and they're going to do all these wonderful things and just, you know, enjoy their life and all that. Those aren't the policies you're buying. Yeah, I know, right? It looks like fun, but from an investment standpoint, that's a terrible idea.
I know. Oh, my gosh. And they don't get much. They don't get hardly anything.
No.
And yet, on the ones we're doing, they get a lot more money because everybody's bidding hard against each other to get them. You know, this is big, big business. The providers that we know, you know, they're buying policies every day for us. They're bringing us ones to bid on. And it's just an amazing thing. Lots of times I'll get a life expectancy from one company, and in 3 minutes I'll get the same one from two or three others.
Really?
So, yeah, they're following each other really close right now.
So it's pretty competitive.
It's very competitive, highly competitive. In the United States, it's you know, it's a $60 billion a year business.
Jeez Louise, $60 billion with a B?
That's what they say, yeah.
Wow. With a life settlement, though, does come three risks. And I know we always try to include these whenever we talk about them because, you know, when it comes down to it, first of all, to do a life settlement like we referred to earlier, you've got to be accredited. So first of all, before we get into the risks, what does it mean to be accredited? Because we have to compare the risks to this factor.
Okay, you must make $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million without your home. So it can be either way. You can make $200,000, you'll qualify. Or if you're worth $1 million without your house, you can qualify. And then the minimum investment is $100,000.
All right. So now that we know the accreditation guidelines, with that in mind, and this is what really kind of puts things into perspective. When we go over the risks as compared to the accreditation guidelines, it doesn't seem like it's really that big of a deal. So what's the biggest risk?
The biggest risk is it can go over and you will have to pay premiums. We escrow not only the whatever it is, like if it's 15 months, we're going to escrow that. Plus, we always escrow another 12 months. And so unless it goes over that last 12 months, it won't cost you anything. But if it does, you're going to have to pay premiums. You need to always be prepared that some of them will go over. Some of them will not go over. They'll be on time. Then there'll be some that will come in early. So it all balances out. Like you may have 6 or 8 policies. 3 may be early. 2 may be, you know, on time. The others may be late. So you have to be prepared for paying premiums if it should happen. That's why you must be accredited in order to do this, because you might have to pay premiums. Then the second one is it's not liquid until it matures. Always remember that. When you put your money up, your money is in a policy. It's in that policy, and when you get paid, then you get your principal and your interest back.
Okay.
So you have to always know that. Then a life insurance companies. We only use the biggest ones. You know, they're A and double A rated. We check them out every time to see if their rating is still like it was. So if a company ever went under, it would take you longer to get your money. But we've never had one in Texas go under. We haven't had one nationally go under in years. So that would be the least risk of all.
Didn't you, and I might, maybe I dreamed this, but at one point, didn't one company try, somebody, they sold it or something, and it was like sold before lunch, or it was really, really fast?
That's right, it was. About 4 years ago, maybe 3, there was a company that everybody was talking about, said, well, you know, their finances, they're going down to a B or B plus, and they sold that day.
Yeah.
I mean, they bought it up because the premium income in these companies is so terrific. Their income is so great. In fact, I'll tell you something. 3 insurance companies have just sold, by the way.
Really?
And they sold for billions of dollars.
Oh, my gosh. That's yes. There's a lot of value in owning these companies. So it's
oh, my gosh, yes. And when one of them comes up and they say, we're going to sell, everybody's at the door beating it down, saying, let me buy that sucker.
Yeah, that's like red meat at the lion's cage.
It really is.
Yeah, it's a hot commodity. All right, so there's a lot of really great opportunities, and it doesn't seem to matter, really, if it's life settlements or if it's annuities. Both are extremely profitable. Both are extremely conservative. It just takes really just a matter of sitting down and figuring out, okay, which one do I want? Do I want, you know, growth and income, or do I want just growth? You know, and really, you can sit down with people and kind of analyze and figure out where they are, where they want to be, how aggressively they want to be there, and kind of work out the plan, right? You do the whole thing.
That's right. We're going to work it out however they want to do it. If they want it divided up, if they want all in life settlements, we'll do it. If they want some in annuities, we'll do that. It depends on their situation and what they're looking for. If they want growth, or they need income and growth, or whatever they need.
All right. So what's the first step for new investors who want to come over and get started?
They need to call, make an appointment, come in. We'll show them how to do it. Remember, everything goes to the bank. The account is set up at the bank, not with our company. Nevada Trust handles all the accounts. And that's another thing we haven't touched on today. The cost is $250 a year. It's a very small amount for them to hold this money and to take care of it for you. So that's the greatest thing. They also make sure the premiums are paid. The money's escrowed right there for all premiums. And then also, when the person passes away, the bank gets the check and puts it in everybody's account. So, again, the bank acts as trustee on everything. We're all looking to the bank to make sure everything is handled correctly.
It's nice, neat, tied up, and organized very, very well.
That's right. It's always good to have the bank handle everything.
All right. So, Faye, one last time for people to call and get started, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And AmericanFinancialMidland.com is the website.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold. This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.